You. Welcome, welcome in the name of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus. It's great to see all of you today. We pray God's blessings on our time together. We're about halfway through our Lenten journey to the cross and empty tomb. We pray that God would richly bless us as we hear His Word and receive His gifts today. A couple of words on our worship service for this morning. Our opening hymn we heard in the prelude, Lord of Our Life, hymn 659. Following that opening hymn, we'll pray Matins. That's on page 219 and following. Page 219 and following. We have a worship insert for the day. Readings are on one side. Propers are on the other. We'll sing the introit when we get to the spot for the additional psalm. And we'll sing the Lenten responses, of course. I think that's enough announcements with regard to our service. Before we sing our opening hymn, let's take a moment, notice and greet our brothers and sisters in Christ. If you don't know who you're worshiping with, take a moment and find out. Remember, in Jesus, we are one. Let's greet each other in the name of the Lord. Bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank You for the blessings of each new day. We thank You for the gift of Your Word, which points us to the completed work of Your Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus. Heavenly Father, bless us as we walk in Your Word, as we walk in Your love, and most importantly, as we walk in the forgiveness, life, and salvation that comes from You and only You. Heavenly Father, all these things we pray in the name and for the sake of Jesus, crucified and risen to take away the sin of the world. Amen. Amen. 659.
order of worship is Matins, page 219, we stand. O Lord, open my lips. Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Make haste to help me, O Lord. Glory be to God, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Blessed be God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
O God, let us worship Him. O God, let us sing to the Lord. Let us sing to God, our salvation.
Blessed be God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
O God, let us worship Him.
We turn now to the words of our introit as printed on your service insert. We chant them together.
Thank you.
with our office hymn, hymn 541. You may be seated. Testament reading for the third Sunday in Lent is written in Exodus chapter 8. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Say to Aaron, stretch out your staff and strike the dust of the earth, so that it may become gnats in all the land of Egypt." And they did so. Aaron stretched out his hand with his staff and struck the dust of the earth, and there were gnats on man and beast. All the dust of the earth became gnats in all the land of Egypt. The magicians tried by their secret arts to produce gnats, but they could not. So there were gnats on man and beast. Then the magicians said to Pharaoh, "This is the finger of God." But Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he would not listen to them, as the Lord had said. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Rise up early in the morning and present yourself to Pharaoh as he goes out to the water and say to him, 'Thus says the Lord, let my people go that they may serve me. Or else if you will not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of flies on you and your servants and your people and into your houses. And the houses of the Egyptians shall be filled with swarms of flies, and also the ground on which they stand. But on that day I will set apart the land of Goshen, where my people dwell, so that no swarms of flies shall be there, that you may know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth. Thus I will put a division between my people and your people. Tomorrow this sign shall happen.' And the Lord did so. There came great swarms of flies into the house of Pharaoh and into his servants' houses. Throughout all the land of Egypt, the land was ruined by the swarms of flies." O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
We turn now to the words of our gradual as printed on your service insert. We speak them together. Arise, O Lord, let not man prevail, let the nations be judged before you. When my enemies turn back, they stumble and perish before your presence. The epistle is written in Ephesians chapter 5. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous, that is, an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not associate with them, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 11th chapter. Now Jesus was casting out a demon that was mute. When the demon had gone out, the mute man spoke and the people marveled. But some of them said, "He casts out demons by Beelzebul, the prince of demons," while others, to test him, kept seeking from him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and a divided household falls. And if Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? For you say that I cast out demons by Beelzebul. And if I cast out demons by Beelzebul, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore, they will be your judges. But if it is by the finger of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are safe. But when one stronger than he attacks him and overcomes him, he takes away his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoil. Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. When the unclean spirit has gone out of a person, it passes through waterless places seeking rest, and finding none, it says, 'I will return to my house from which I came.' And when it comes, it finds the house swept and put in order. Then it goes and brings seven other spirits more evil than itself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that person is worse than the first." As he said these things, a woman in the crowd raised her voice and said to him, "Blessed is the womb that bore you, and the breasts at which you nursed." But he said, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it." O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
We have an advocate with the Father. Jesus is the propitiation for our sins.
He was delivered up to death. He was delivered for the sins of the people.
Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, and whose sin is put away.
He was delivered up to death. He
advocate with the Father. Jesus is the propitiation for our sins.
Ye imitators of God, as beloved children, and walk in love, as Christ loved us, and gave Himself up for us a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Grace, mercy, peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Text for our sermon this morning is the epistle lesson read a few moments ago from the 5th chapter of Paul's letter to the Church of God in Ephesus, dear friends, in Christ. What is love? We read books about love. We hear songs about love. We watch movies about love. But with all that talk about love in our world, especially in February, do we really know what it is? Where do we go to learn about love? Do we look to God, imitating Him? Or do we look to the world and imitate those around us? Every 3 years, at the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's National Youth Gathering, a survey is taken, asking the opinion of the youth on a whole variety of topics. In 2013, so this data is already a little bit dated, only 55% of the youth surveyed agreed with the statement, homosexuality is always wrong according to God's Word. This was an all-time low. Do we imitate God? Or have we imitated the world? In that same survey, only 44% of 19-year-olds said that they were still virgins. Do we imitate God? Or have we imitated the world? Now, I don't have any fancy statistics for this one, but most pastors today will tell you that it's extremely rare and getting rarer to work with a couple in preparation for marriage that has not been sexually active or even living together as if they are married. And so the question remains, as Christians, do we imitate God and His love, or have we imitated the world and its love? Without compromise, without equivocation, without apology, St. Paul calls on us to imitate God's love. And there is only one place to look to see God's love: the cross of Christ. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Christ's love is for us. It is for you. His love is not self-serving or self-seeking. It is always oriented toward the other, toward you. He loves you, and He gives you everything: His life, His righteousness, His glory, and the very treasures of heaven. He gives you everything, and He takes what is yours: your death, your sin, your condemnation. He takes your place. He exchanges all that you have for everything that is His. And His love is always directed outward. It is always directed toward you and to a world in desperate need of His love. Christ's love is self-giving. It is self-sacrificial. He gives up His own life into death for you. He does not hold on to His own life. He does not seek His own good, but He seeks yours. He gives up everything, submitting unto death, even death upon a cross. The aroma of His sacrifice rises pleasing to His Father. For in the death of Christ, God is revealed as love. Love to the loveless shown, that they might lovely be. He loves you by not leaving you in your sins. God does not pour out His wrath upon you. He pours it out on Jesus, the willing sacrifice, who had everything but gave up all things for you. Jesus does not take glory. He does not seize riches, but He gives His life, His blood, His flesh. He gives them to you by sacrificing them on the altar of the cross. And He gives them to you by pouring them out upon you in the Word and the precious sacraments. Jesus did not grasp after glory as the devil tempted Him to do. But He gave up His life into death because He loves you. This love of Jesus Christ for you, for a fallen world, is completely contrary to how the world teaches and practices love. The love of Christ is always directed outward toward the other. The love of this world is always directed inward toward the self. This is no more evident or potentially destructive than that area of human existence that St. Paul focuses on in our text for this day, sexuality. There the world tells you that your wants, your passions, your desires rule the roost. No self-control is called for. No renunciation of the flesh. You are encouraged to indulge yourself, to let your passions run wild. You are told to only think of yourself and to not think of what your activities may be doing to your neighbor or to the one who may one day marry your neighbor. The love of Christ is self-giving. You are taught by the world to take, to seize what has not been given to you, to join yourself with one who has not been bestowed upon you by God in marriage. The one and only place where God gives another person to you to become one flesh. St. Paul is much more than explicit here. Such things have no place amongst Christians. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not be even named among you, as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place. But instead, let there be thanksgiving. Such things ought not even be named among the saints. The saints of Christ, you and me, are to show the same love, the same self-giving, self-sacrificial love that Christ has shown to you. You are called to chastity. an old-fashioned word that we would do well to recover. That simply means restricting sexuality to the one who has been given to you in marriage. That means laying aside all your natural desires and passions. And that means protecting the chastity of those around you, your neighbors, from your sons and daughters, grandchildren, to a boyfriend or girlfriend, fiancé, to every single man or woman made in the image of God. If what you are doing or saying or thinking or encouraging or letting pass isn't showing to your neighbor the love of Christ, then Paul calls on you to repent. And instead, give your body to the spouse when he gives one to you, to instead use your thoughts to contemplate God's word, to instead use your lips for thanksgiving. The love that the world teaches, this self-gratifying, self-focused love, contradicts your identity in Christ. This is not the kind of love that Christ has shown to you. It is incompatible with who you claim to be. You cannot go around bearing the name Christian and yet love as the world loves. Paul minces no words in his condemnation of such hypocrisy. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous, that is, an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Paul isn't talking to the heathen here. He isn't standing on the corner of Bourbon Street. He's talking to Christians. He's talking to you and me. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Do not be deceived by the empty words of others, inside the church and without, who tell you that sexual sins are no big deal, that chastity is old-fashioned, repressive, that it is unrealistic, that freedom is to be found in serving your natural passions. Do not be deceived by those who would tell you that to be a Christian is to have no more use for the law, who use the Reformation teaching of grace as a shield, as an excuse for lawlessness and laziness. Do not be deceived by those who promise freedom, but give only bondage. Bondage to sin that controls you and leads you away from God. Sexual sin is slavery. Slavery that delivers only death. Freedom is found only in Christ. In His release from the shackles of sin, won by His shed blood, the freedom He bestows day after day after day with His forgiveness. Do not return to the slave drivers, dear friends in Christ, but live in the freedom of Jesus. Therefore, do not be associated with them. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk in the light. You used to be associated with the darkness, but no longer. You are light. Christ has shown His love to you in taking you out of the darkness, seizing you out of the prison house of death. Christ is the light that no darkness can overcome. The light that appeared to be snuffed out on Good Friday, but shone out all the more on Easter morn. Christ loves you by giving you freedom, by releasing you from your sin. He has driven away the suffocating darkness. He has broken the bonds of slavery. He has made you light, shedding His blood and dying for every sin, against every single commandment, including those against the sixth commandment. He died for every sexual sin of thought, word, and deed. He died for those sins that only you know. He died for those sins that only you and one other person know. He died for those sins that too many people know. He died for them all. He fulfilled the sixth commandment perfectly with all the rest, so that He could pay the price for all the times that you have not. He died to make you light. And St. Paul has one encouragement for those who are light in the Lord. Walk in the light. What does it mean to walk in the light? Now, it doesn't mean a life of perfection. It doesn't mean that you never sin. It doesn't mean that if you've messed up that you are damaged goods and have lost something that Christ cannot restore. What it does mean is to live the life of repentance. It means to despair of your sins, to cry out to God for Christ's blood-bought forgiveness, to receive that forgiveness by grace, and then, having received that forgiveness, to bear the fruits of repentance. As St. Paul says, the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. The life of chastity is not easy. Not at all. You will battle your own sinful flesh, and you will also battle the overwhelming pressure of a world that doesn't understand you at all. You cannot live as Christ calls you to live on your own power. Only by daily repentance and faith, only by daily confession and absolution, only by continually receiving Christ's forgiveness can you walk this road. If you have the guilt of sexual sin in your past or your present, repent and hear these words. You are forgiven. God showed His love to you in that while you were still a sinner, Christ died for you. You are not damaged goods. You are clean. You are pure in Christ. For you are forgiven. Bear the fruits of repentance. Repent and abstain. Repent and move out. Repent and purchase accountability software. And know that you do not walk this road on your own. As a church, we need to do much better than simply handing out purity rings and having kids sign pledges. We need to support and help all those who walk the difficult road of chastity. Before marriage, during marriage, after marriage. We cannot simply tell our young people or anyone else, just say no, and then give them no help, no support in leading a chaste life. That's what we are here for as the church, to bear one another's burdens, to help and support others in walking the difficult Christian life. The church is not the place to excuse or ignore sin, but the place where sin is pointed out, repented of, and forgiven. That's what Christ does with our sin. He loves us by giving up His life into death, and He loves us by shining the light of His love into our hearts, making us light in the Lord. He gives us the supreme example of love, but it is much, much more than an example. It is your forgiveness, your life, your salvation. Thanks be to God. In the name of Jesus, amen. We stand and we sing the Te Deum, found on page 223. Page 223.
friend, welcome. Welcome in the name of Jesus, not only our perfect example, but our Savior and Lord. This time we ask that you participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. Pat at the end of each row, please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship this day. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping with us on the radio or on the internet. We pray that God's good news of forgiveness in Jesus Christ would be yours today and always. This time also, we worship God with our gifts and offerings. Begin with the Kyrie, middle of page 227. Please stand as you're able. Have mercy. Be gracious to all who have gone astray from your ways, and bring them again with penitent hearts and steadfast faith to embrace and hold fast the unchangeable truth of your word. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. In addition to the prayer requests that are listed in our news and notes. We rejoice with Good Shepherd member Lois Herpelsheimer as she celebrated her 94th birthday this week. We pray for Good Shepherd member Wally Kruger, who recently took a fall and is hospitalized, and also for Fred and Leona Maddox, friends of Laverne and LaVon Myers, dealing with multiple health issues. Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Everlasting God, have mercy upon Your baptized children. Guard them from the evil one. Deliver us from all temptation. And keep us, by Your Holy Spirit, in communion with the stronger man, Jesus Christ, Your Son, our Lord, that we might live in His grace and walk in His ways to the glory of Your holy name. Lord, in Your mercy. Gracious God, we give You thanks for the innumerable blessings You bestow upon us without any merit or worthiness on our part. We are especially thankful for pastors, missionaries, teachers, all that You send into our midst to preach Your Word, to administer Your sacraments. Keep them faithful to their charge and enliven us by Your grace to hear the Word of God and keep it. Lord, in Your mercy. Almighty God, remember those who have been entrusted with civil authority among us and those who serve in our armed forces. Protect, strengthen, and uphold them in every good and God-pleasing deed. Lord, in Your mercy. Merciful God, look with compassion on all those who are unemployed and send them relief. According to Your gracious provisions, provide for them. Turn the hearts of those who have an overabundance of earthly wealth and suffer from the sin of affluence, that they would give freely and generously of the blessings they have received, recognizing their poverty before You and their need of salvation in Christ. Lord, in Your mercy, compassionate God, consider the affliction and trouble of Your people who cry out to You in their hour of need, especially for those whom our prayers have been requested, Wally, Fred and Leona, Beth, Marge, Lynn, Nolan, Bob and Mona, Carmen, Sam, Marlene, Steve, Celeste, Nancy, Diane, Chip, Janice, Disney, Max, Lori, Nevaeh, Rosa, Ed, Nick, Vicky, Zoe, Jocelyn, Chuck, Todd, Susan, and all others that we remember in our hearts. Give them patience in their suffering, strengthen their faith, and keep their eyes clearly focused on Jesus. Lord, in Your mercy. Heavenly Father, You teach us that when Your children rejoice, the entire family rejoices. We rejoice with Lois Herpelsheimer as she celebrates 94 years of Your grace and blessing. And we rejoice with Eric and Lacey Wallace in the gift of a daughter, Eleanor Glenn. Heavenly Father, teach us to be less self-centered and to be more aware and thankful for the blessings of our neighbor. Lord, in Your mercy, living God, You give Your people a share in the eternal life of Your Son, who rose from His tomb on the third day and ascended into heaven in His glorified flesh on the 40th day of His resurrection. receive our thanks and praise for all those you have kept in the faith and who have fallen asleep in Jesus. Bring us with them after we have walked your way on earth to the eternal joys of the feast to come when He returns in great glory on the last day. Lord, in your mercy, in your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy, through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you.
Amen.
Please be seated for our closing hymn. Number 438, A Lamb Goes Uncomplaining Forth.
Amen.
crucified, risen, and ascended, and returning Lord Jesus Christ. I encourage you to check out the Good Shepherd News and Notes. All the activities and events in the days and weeks ahead are listed there. We have lots of Easter and Easter week announcements in our news and notes this week for the first time, so please check those out. We're about halfway through our Lenten journey to the cross and empty tomb right now. So we've got a lot of things coming up in the near future. On Wednesday, we'll have our regular Lenten schedule. 12:15 and 6:30 will be our worship times. Fellowship meal serving at 5 o'clock from 5 to 6:15. Bible study before, confirmation as well. Choir and Bible study after. And that's our regular routine yet for three more Wednesdays. You'll see lots of tables and things set up there. We've got a lot of things going on. School auction is coming up a week from Friday, so please check that out. Great way to support our school and preschool. Also, it is time to place your Easter Lily order table in the narthex. Now, you know, some of you do, that Pastor Poppy is terribly allergic to Easter lilies. But what great way to show our joy and excitement at the Easter time than with Easter lilies. So the people with the altar guild, they know how to get them up and get them out of there without putting me in the hospital. So as many Easter lilies as we can possibly have, that would be a good and beautiful thing. So check that out and support the Easter Lily folks out there as well. You're all invited for coffee and goodies in the fellowship hall. Sunday school opening back in here in about 10 or 12 minutes or so. One opportunity for adult Bible study. We'll be looking at Ecclesiastes chapter 6 today. Ecclesiastes chapter 6. Today we had the sixth commandment in our sermon. Oh, pretty much a seventh commandment, ninth commandment, tenth commandment Bible study today in Ecclesiastes chapter 6. Next week, next Sunday, we'll be starting a new summary of Christian doctrine class. For any who would like to find out a little bit more about what Lutheran Christians believe, teach, and confess, or if you like a refresher course in the catechism, that'd be a good place. Pastor, anything else? Vicar? Have a great... you're pointing to somebody. Oh, well, in case you haven't noticed, one of our former vicars is here, along with his family and a few other folks. C-Club basketball tournament in Seward over the weekend. And former vicar, now pastor, Ryan Seymour and his family are here. You were just back here and preached for anniversary. When was that? About a year and a half ago? Okay, all right. So, great to see the family. Also, to see Caleb is taller than Dad. All right, that's pretty cool. So we welcome the Seymours, and good luck at the ball tournament. All right, all right. Have a great day and week in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you.